Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Good morning again. My name is Chris Allen, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at West End. It's great to have each of you in worship with us. The vision of West End is to be the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming the world. And no matter where you come from or where you are going, you are welcomed in this place. We believe that God loves all people unconditionally. You'll find in your bulletin there's an insert with many announcements, and I want to highlight a few of those this morning. The first is that next Sunday will be our all-church picnic. It'll be at 5:30. There'll be fun fellowship and food for all ages, including inflatables for children. And there will also be a dunk tank, and this dunk tank will have inside of it a certain senior pastor named Michael. And I hope you will come with generous hearts to try to dunk Michael. We'll be raising money for our Habitat build. We're hoping to get $650 that will go towards purchasing a washer and a dryer for the Habitat build that will take place in October. And again, the all-church picnic will be next Sunday at 5:30. And then I want to raise up that West End 101 began this morning. This is a four-week study for those that have questions about West End United Methodist Church and the larger United Methodist Church. This is a great opportunity for those of you that are new or have questions about the church. It's a four-week study, so you're welcome to join in next week for the remaining 3 weeks. It takes place in the Fourth Story Theater at 9:45 on Sunday morning. And this is some really good news. I want to thank you for your generosity. We were able to raise the $30,000 for the Habitat build for the 13th consecutive year. That's something to be very thankful for and rejoice. There's still volunteer slots available for the build that will take place in October, and you can sign up after worship in Reed Hall out these doors. Also, during the month of September, we are collecting gently used and new children's and adult books for the Henderson settlement. Downstairs on the first level, when you walk in the 23rd Avenue doors, there's some blue collection bins, and you're more than welcome to put your donations in those bins when you come each Sunday in September. And then this Tuesday at our ministry council table, we'll have a called charge conference. all Weston members are invited to be a part of this and have vote at this meeting. We'll be having Krista Blackshear has been nominated and approved by our staff parish relation committee as a candidate for ministry, and she will go before the charge conference for approval to continue moving on in her candidacy. And so that'll be at 5:30 down in McWhorter Hall on this Tuesday. And so all Weston members are invited to be a part of that. And my final announcement is for youth this Sunday, right after worship today, youth choir will begin in the music suite right after worship. And so we invite you to gather in there and be a part of the youth choir today. Let us continue to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Amen.
Rejoice with me, people of God.
God has gathered us in from the wilderness.
Rejoice with me, people of God.
God has swept away the darkness of the night.
Rejoice with me, people of God.
Today there is joy in the presence of the angels.
The Lord has called us to move onward to perfection, to love God and neighbor with all our being. Though we often stumble on the path to perfection, we serve a God ready, willing, and quick to forgive. Let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying together. Gracious and loving God, we find it difficult at times to place our trust in you. Too often we look at the world and see only violence, pain, destruction, and signs of hopelessness and despair. Too often we rely on our own strength, our own plans, our own devices, rather than trusting in your hand to hold us, your love to sustain us, and your wisdom to see us through. Forgive us, Holy One. Help us turn to you when we are lost, that we might find our way home. Help us navigate the treacherous waters of this world, that we might experience your abundance, mercy, and love. Help us put our trust in you, that the faith and love that are Christ Jesus may shine in our lives for all to see. Amen. Our God is a God of opportunities. We are invited again and again to be about God's work in this world. God knows our weakness and seeks to work with us. God forgives our failings and gives us strength for the journey. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel, according to Luke. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me, because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, because I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
All children are welcome to join us here at the chancel rail. Good morning. So I brought with me a few of my baseball cards that I collected when I was about your age. And these were all very important to me. Some of them were so important that I wanted to keep really good care of them, and I kept them in these plastic sheets. And then even ones that were even more important than that, I would keep them in these like hard plastic cases. I'd put them up on a shelf in my room because these were the things that I valued the most. And the story that Tom read for us today, Jesus actually tells us two stories. In the first story, there's a shepherd, and the shepherd has 99 sheep, and he's missing one of them. And this one sheep is so important to the shepherd that the shepherd searches all over for that one sheep. And in the second story, there's a woman who has a coin that's missing, and it's so important to her that she searches all over her house for that one coin. And God loves us that much that he thinks each one of us is important. God values each one of us and loves each of us. Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you that you love us so much, that you search us out, and you tell us that we are valuable to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go back. So I went to divinity school at Duke, and after my first year as a divinity student, I was sent as a ministerial intern to the far western corner of North Carolina to this small, remote country church. And as the intern that summer, my task was to teach children's Sunday school. And like I said, this was a small, rural country church, and so children's Sunday school meant one Sunday school class for all the children of the church. All ages were in my class. And so at this point, after 1 year of seminary, I had taken two Christian education classes, and so I felt super equipped for this task of teaching five kids between the ages of about 5 and 11. And so I took with me that summer the gold parable box. Why gold? Well, the parables that Jesus tells us are valuable, like the color gold. And so I got the children gathered that first Sunday morning, and I sat them down on the floor in the Sunday school room, and I opened up that gold parable box with some curiosity, and I asked them, I wonder what could be inside a gold box. And I pulled out this large piece of green felt, and I asked them, I wonder what this could be. What could this be? Let's see what else is in the box. And I pulled out a shepherd. And I began to tell them a story about how this shepherd had a lot of sheep. And he led his sheep to the greenest grass possible, to the best pastures, where they could feed on that green, green grass. And this shepherd led his sheep all the way to the coolest blue waters. And when he led his sheep back to the sheepfold, he noticed that one was missing. And so the shepherd retraced all of his steps. He went back to those cool, refreshing waters, and he couldn't find that one missing sheep. And he went back through all of those green grass pastures, and he couldn't find that one missing sheep. And then he even went to the darkest valleys looking for that one lost sheep. And when the shepherd found that one lost sheep, he put the sheep on his back, and he carried that sheep all the way back to the sheepfold, back home. So after telling the kids the story, began to ask some wondering questions. I wonder what it was like to be lost. I wonder, did they ever think they would see that shepherd again? Have you ever been lost? How did that feel? And I suppose we often put ourselves in the perspective of the lost sheep or the lost coin, because when we're honest with ourselves, that's where we find ourselves a lot of the time, lost. We get lost. It's something we have in common. We get disoriented. We get turned around. We get confused. We go down the wrong path. We end up separated from the best of ourselves, from others, and from God. And this separation is something we call sin. It's separation from God, from others, and the best of ourselves. Sin is a broken relationship. It's missing the mark. It's getting off path and losing our way. And when we're honest, we have a tendency to lose our way. Sometimes it's deliberate. Sometimes we even do it unknowingly. And our choices often lead to destructive consequences for others and for ourselves. But hear the good news. God is like the shepherd who cares for the one. God is like the woman who searches every nook and cranny for the one. God then celebrates when the one is found. The even better news is God is not like me. I'm way too cautious to leave 99 sheep to go look for one. I would have just counted up my losses and said I had 99 sheep now, and I would have held on tighter to those 99. My first 5 years in ministry, I was a youth pastor, and I took a lot of trips with youth. And I can tell you, if one youth had ended up missing, had wandered off the trip somewhere, I surely would not have just left the other 99 youth. I'll be back in a little while. Why go look? I would have followed every safe sanctuary protocol. I would have left him with two adults. There had been proper ratios. I probably would have taken another adult with me. We would have had a plan. I wouldn't have just risked it to go looking for that one. And that's the good news, that God never gives up searching for us. And remember, when the one is found, there's a celebration, a party. When the woman finds that one lost coin, she throws a party. And if you've ever thrown a party, parties cost money. I can only imagine she used that one lost coin that she was searching for. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I might just be cheap or frugal or a penny pincher or whatever you want to call me, but I wouldn't have searched for a coin and then spent it that same day. God never gives up searching for us. The scripture simply says, when he finds it. And then again in verse 9, it says, when she finds it. There's no mention of how long this search might have taken. It could have been 20 minutes, it could have been an hour, but we're only left to imagine how long it took. God is doing everything God can do, even all the way to the cross, to search each one of us out. To search and bring us back to the fold of God's love. If you feel like a lost coin this morning, know that God is never going to give up searching for you. This is the thing that we call grace. God begins the search for us before we even know that we are lost. And when the sheep is found, There's no condemnation. There's no guilt trip. There's no arms on the side. Where have you been? What were you thinking? Do you know how long I've been looking for you? The shepherd is just simply thrilled to have the sheep back. This is the offer of grace. And it's that grace that stirs our souls to sing out, I was once lost, but now am found. And God carries us all the way back to the fold. And in searching, God cleanses. God continues to sweep away the brokenness of our lives even after we're found. But what happens when we change the perspective of this story? Instead of being the lost sheep or the lost coin, what happens when you are the shepherd or the woman? When was the last time you turned everything upside down in your house and you swept every nook and cranny looking for the one? Or when was the last time that you risked everything like the shepherd to go after the one? What happens when God uses us to light the way, to sweep the way for others with that same love that once found us? If we want to know a little something about what it means to search every nook and cranny of the house, just look at our youth ministry here at West End. Our youth pastor Emily and her team have a vision that every young person in our youth ministry would be in relationship with five adults in meaningful relationships as they walk through those valleys and mountains of middle school and high school. We're in need of some good shepherds. Or I invite you to come on a Monday morning and be a part of our Sunny Day program, a program for those that are experiencing memory loss, where they have interaction and community, and their caregivers are given a respite. That's what it looks like to light the way for others. This week, I heard a story from 9/11 that I had never really heard too much about before. It was a story about how boats of all sorts, ferries and tugboats and personal watercrafts were used to evacuate people from lower Manhattan as the tunnels and bridges were blocked. And in the interview, the ferry captain said he saw the second plane hit the tower. He didn't really even think about what he was doing. All of a sudden, he felt him turn the wheel hard to port, rev the engines to full power, and head south. That was someone that knew that he needed to light the way that day. On a day of darkness, there were those that were in need. He didn't radio anyone that he was going. He said he basically stole the boat. He knew that there were others that were in need of light that day. And even in my own faith journey, there was someone that lit the way for me. It was a friend of mine named Rich. And Rich, this was no angelic choir or fireworks going off. All he simply did as a high school student was invite me to youth group. But in that invitation, Rich was able to open up a space for God to work in my life in powerful ways, because Rich was willing to light the way for another. That's the thing of the gospel, is it sends us to the ones that are not here right now. God wants to use each one of us. God wants to use the people of West End to bring others back to the flock. God wants to put light in our hands, to put brooms in our hands, to sweep the way for others. And when we're brought back in to God's sheepfold, we have a choice. We can celebrate, or we can grumble. But the temptation we often face is that the longer we're a part of the sheepfold, the more tempted we are to think it's about us. And that's where the grumbling starts. It's, hey, shepherd, I'm over here. Look at me. But we can't do that. There are still lost sheep. When the focus is on us, we lose focus on what's going on outside. We lose focus on what's going on in our community. And we forget that there's still a search for lost coins. But do you remember how this story ends? What happens when the coin and the sheep are found? There's a party, a celebration. Who doesn't want to be a part of a party, a celebration? But the question is, will you keep the party going? Amen. We respond to God's word in our life by affirming our faith together. And I invite you to stand and affirm the affirmation that's on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, and our judge in light, in life and death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We welcome all who have gathered to worship with us today. We are so glad you're here. If you're a guest among us, please join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall. And look for someone with a blue name tag. Those are our Andrew ministers. They can help you find out more about the church and ways to plug in here. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you can put comments for staff or lay leadership. And on the other side, you can put prayer requests. Please note if you'd like for your request to be confidential or shared. And if you'd like for a staff member or someone to contact you about your comment or prayer requests, please indicate that on the card and put your contact information. Please take a moment to record your attendance. There is an attendance pad that you'll find in the center aisle. Pass it down the row. Note who you're worshiping with, and after the service, take a moment to say hello. If you're a college student, please join us for lunch after the service. You'll exit those doors to your right, my left, and we'll meet in Reed Hall, and then we'll walk somewhere to go to lunch together. Our deepest sympathies are extended to three families this morning who are mourning the loss of a loved one. The Tettleton family, John, Anna, Gray, Sailor, and Maeve Tettleton, and their family are mourning the death of John's niece, Rebecca Tettleton, who died August the 31st in Oxford, Mississippi. We're also mourning with Chris Holland and his family, who are mourning the death of his father, Kenneth Holland, who died September 2nd in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we are mourning with Rodney Pickett and Brian Robertson. Their uncle, Joe Pickett, died Thursday, September 8th in Columbia, Kentucky. A service is being held at Pickett's Chapel UMC in Russell Springs, Kentucky, tomorrow at 1 p.m. There will also be a small memorial service here at West End at a later date, and we'll let you know that when we know. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. On this day, we can't help but remember that Tuesday 15 years ago. The blow was sudden, swift, and beyond comprehension. We have trouble making sense of the loss of so many innocent lives. When we look back, we see many lives that were not known to us. But when God looks, God sees inside each and every person. God knows us intimately. God knows our goodness, our specialness, our loves, our dreams, our imperfections, and our secrets. God knows the pain of every heart. God weeps with us, and God breathes strength and comfort into our lives. God, through your example, may we never ignore human suffering. May we never be indifferent to the cries of those in pain. We pray for a world without hatred, and we pray for an end to terror. We pray for the strength to overcome prejudice and intolerance, and for safety and protection. We pray that God will grant wisdom and compassion to our leaders. We pray for our dead and for those who gave their lives so that others might live. We pray for healing. We pray for peace. And now we pray for your coming kingdom in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite lay leader Zach Kelly to come and share a mission moment about one of our mission partners, Launchpad.
About 5 years ago, I went home for Thanksgiving, and as was our normal tradition, over a bottle of wine, my sister and I talked about what was going on in our life with my mom while she prepared the meal for the following day. While my mom was stuffing the turkey, she uttered words that I will never forget, and they caused me to freeze. Someone called and said that you were a homosexual. 22 years of being in the closet had helped me avoid this conversation and whatever repercussions would follow. I looked to my sister, who knew already, hoping that she would be some help. She quickly tossed back what was left of her wine, sat the empty glass on the table, and exited stage left. She's very helpful. After what seemed like a silent eternity, I decided to, in my opinion, very bravely and boldly respond to this by saying, technically speaking, they wouldn't be wrong. Okay, said my mother. That was her response. And because I am a glutton for punishment, I asked if there were any questions, because surely there had to be a deeper reaction lurking under the surface. No, she said. I just wanted you to know that you could tell me. You see, I am one of the lucky ones. When I told my parents that I was gay, they didn't cut me off. They didn't take my phone or my car. They didn't stop paying my tuition at UT. And they didn't disinvite me to family functions. And they certainly didn't kick me out of our home and leave me with no place to live. Unfortunately, for many LGBT youth, my parents would be the exception and not the rule. In Nashville alone, some 40% of homeless youth between the ages of 18 and 24 self-identify as LGBT. This vulnerable population is 7 times more likely to be sexually assaulted than their heterosexual counterparts. Their rate of suicide is more than half at 62%. And the vast majority are homeless as the result of severe family conflict, resulting from their being honest about who they are and who they love. Realizing that many shelters in Nashville are not LGBT affirming, a group of volunteers came together last year to form a new organization, Launchpad, a nonprofit LGBT-friendly organization that provides peaceful and safe places to sleep for those between the ages of 18 and 24. For the last year, West End has provided the space for Launchpad to host their guests on Sunday night. And this year, under the leadership of Reverend Lisa Guak, we are seeking to expand that partnership. On Sunday, September 18th, a volunteer training will be held here in McWhirter Hall at 1:30. We invite anyone interested to join this conversation and see how God may be calling you to be involved with this ministry. More information can be found in your bulletin, including the times of additional trainings throughout the city in the event that you can't be at the one held here. We hope that you will hear the gospel call today and join us with Launchpad on September 18th to help some of Nashville's most vulnerable citizens.
All of those who have received in abundance, may we offer our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to a loving God.
May the peace of Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at all the wonderful things he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.